I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, happy to be at the office of Mayor Cassandra Gove in beautiful downtown Amesbury. I've never been to Amesbury, so Madam Mayor, thank you for the invite. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here.
Well, we want to start off, I think we'll start off right away with COVID, because that's obviously, hopefully, at the end of its run, and the sun is out, people are getting optimistic, and I wonder if you might give me a little rundown on how things are going with respect to maybe businesses opening or vaccine rollout or whatever comes to mind.
Yeah, it is absolutely top of mind for most folks these days. There's a sense of optimism, a real sense of joy for people as we come into the spring season, which represents a big season of change in many ways. For our businesses, they are starting to expand into their outdoor dining locations, mm-hmm. which is really exciting. We opened outdoor dining locations last year on a lot of public spaces, mm-hmm. a little unique for our community. We found that it worked really well. We have some little nooks and crannies along the river that runs right through our downtown where our restaurants could expand into some picnic tables. We have really quaint, well-lit spaces for them, and people loved it. So we reactivated those this year. It started on April 1st. We started nice and early. Mm-hmm. And on those chilly nights, we actually have blankets that were provided to all of the restaurants for people to grab at any of the outdoor dining locations and take with them. All so right. You don't have to worry about turning it back in or having to pick another one at another location, but you get to take it with you and use it over and over again. So when this all started with COVID-19 and the pandemic last year, we started a business economic adjustment team. We just knew right away we would need to support our local businesses, and we needed some really key stakeholders at the table to help with that. And so they created the blanket program and said, we've got you covered. We want to provide these blankets. And we had two great sponsors for those. So we're encouraging everybody to get out there, even though it might be a little bit chilly still during this season. But all of those spaces are activated. We hope that people will come to town and enjoy those and join us for lunch, breakfast, lunch, or dinner. We have restaurants of all kinds that have expanded into those locations. We have otherwise been relatively resilient throughout the pandemic. Again, our beat group has really supported our businesses. Our Chamber of Commerce has been fantastic. We've had great partnerships, and everyone is looking forward to a busy summer season.
Absolutely, and that sounds like a great idea. When the restaurants first went outdoors, as you said, they were taking away some public spaces. Now, is there any kickback from people walking on sidewalks or other neighboring businesses who say, you're infringing on me, or is this going pretty smoothly?
It's going really smoothly. It's been sort of an all hands on deck. I think that we're a really close-knit community, and we really want to support our businesses. A lot of our business owners are local, so they're our neighbors, and a lot of people just knew that it was a time that we needed to come together and support mm-hmm. them in any way that we could. So neighboring businesses have been really flexible about where those outdoor dining spaces might be, if they're taking up parking spaces that their patrons might otherwise have used. We've also added some 15-minute parking spots for grab-and-go to our retailers. So we've really sort of spread out things throughout the downtown area, also on our Route 110 area and in our shopping plaza. There's outdoor dining out there as well, curbside pickup options. So we've really tried to do everything we could and lend a hand.
Is this something that might continue well past the pandemic? That 'cause it's pretty popular.
It's been very popular in a lot of communities. I'm really hoping that it continues. It certainly looks temporary in nature. We're using some barricades, some jersey barriers. So I'm hoping that in the long term we find something that might be more aesthetically pleasing, but right now it is Jersey barriers. I think that the restaurants have really enjoyed having that opportunity, that the option to expand outdoors. It's absolutely livened up our downtown. It's nice to drive through and see people outside and enjoying their meal and socializing rather than having it look a little more barren and having everybody indoors. So we are hoping that we can expand that licensing and the options to be outdoors more long term, but we will look into the ways that we do it.
What other aspects of COVID have you been dealing with? I mean, you know, you have people who get hospitalized. Unfortunately, there have been fatalities. But now we do have the vaccine rollout. So maybe a little update on that.
Yes, absolutely. We have been really active in the vaccine rollout, incredibly fortunate to have the support of the state and DPH to locate a regional vaccine clinic right here in Amesbury. We partnered with 8 other communities, neighboring communities. We have a 9 community collaborative, but the main location for the distribution is at the Amesbury High School. So we have, to this point, vaccinated over 15,000 or distributed 15,000 doses. Mm-hmm. We do about 2,000 a day on Saturdays and Sundays, and we have people from all over the state coming here to get their vaccine. We've had rave reviews, lots of great feedback, people very happy with their experience. They don't wait in line. They don't really slow down. It's very smooth, and there are a lot of people to thank for that, never mind the administrators, the town managers and mayors and the professionals behind it, but also so many volunteers. We have hundreds of volunteers every day that we run the clinic. And on the other days, too, managing the registrations and the preparation, we have to set and reset the high school spaces so that they can continue with their, you know, schooling during the week. And so an incredible amount of time and energy has gone into those clinics, but they've been really successful. We are vaccinating a lot of people, and it's really nice to see, and it does really contribute to that sense of joy and hope as we head into this season.
Well, you know, I know teachers want kids in class, and they want to be doing that, and but they're, of course, a little nervous before the vaccine. How has the school situation been going? Because I know us, you know, we cover sports, and Amesbury High School sports have been dynamite.
We appreciate that feedback. We did start out relatively slow with our school planning, our phased reopening. We started remote for the school year. You know, it certainly affected school sports. We went into hybrid at learning, and we have just transitioned to full in-person learning. We started the elementary schools. They went in on the 5th of April, and we are headed into April vacation. And when we return, our middle school and high school will come back as well. Mm-hmm. We've been able to keep our athletics rolling for the most part without any hitches. I think we took a small break from basketball after the holiday. But otherwise, we've been able to keep everything in forward momentum, which is really nice. They are happy to be back. The young ones who got started first were thrilled to be there. The teachers, of course, very happy to be back. And we're headed back into full 5 days for everyone.
I can't even imagine what it's going to be like when we finally get to the point where we don't have to wear these masks. I mean, it's become so routine. Let's talk a little bit now about what's going on in Amesbury. I noticed in my little preparation coming up here, something called Amesbury 2030.
Yeah, we are just getting started on an initiative that I launched in January. I called it I Am Amesbury 2030. It's something I refer to as not your average master planning initiative. It's something that I want everyone in the community to be part of. I talked early on taking office about the fact that our master plan is outdated and that we lack a real vision and a common plan. And so it's something I want everyone to participate in and to think about who we want to be in 30 years and what that might look like. We have a task force of residents and professionals who are working together right now in the very early stages of data collection, reviewing some of our old plans, some of the plans that are newer, and where they may overlap, where they may conflict or complement each other. And looking for themes, we've started with a survey of the residents. We started with some listening sessions, just to get a sense of what people cared most about, what maybe they should be prioritizing. And they meet regularly to just get that initiative started. We're looking forward to a lot more opportunities to talk to the community and start drafting some sort of action plans. It's something that I expect to take about 2 years mm-hmm. of active engagement with this task force and with the community, but that we will come out of it with some real clarity on where we expect to be in 10 years, what this community should look like, and what is most important to us.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. What does that entail, just maybe generally? Does it, you talk about what downtown looks like, or infrastructure, or businesses, on how, what's kind of an overview for this?
Master plans can take a few different shapes, and they've certainly changed over time. So I do expect that it will look a little like you've described. This will sort of serve as an umbrella. We may have smaller plans under that. Mm-hmm. We may find that because of overlaps, one might be, you know, rather than transportation, it might be mobility. We have a lot of people talking about okay. wanting to bike, and about handicap accessibility, and you know, we don't have a lot of public transit in our community, so it might be broader than transportation. So we may sure. see things overlap in a way that we have a more of a broad concept, but we need to address mobility, and we need to think about how that applies to everything that we do, all of our projects, all of our buildings. And our goal is to make this something that is really integrated into our work, that sort of serves as a framework for all of our staff at the city, so that their jobs are easier, that their budgeting is easier. It's easier to sunset programs that we can finally determine are not in line with what the community is looking for from us. So it should be exciting to see flesh out. You know, something else we've talked a lot about is having an equity lens to everything that we do. And so perhaps every plan under that umbrella has a component of equity, but it applies to each one of those smaller plans. It's not actually its own plan. It just needs to be applied to everything. So that's what we're working on now, is sort of which ones, what areas are a priority, where do they overlap, and where may we need to sort of reshape things. So the feedback from the community has been great. There have been some very definite themes coming out of the communication. We have a few more listening sessions to go, and then we will release back to the community sort of what we've heard from this first phase.
Let's turn our attention to finances here, or budgets, or that kind of thing. There's also something I notice on the city website called ClearGov. You want to tell me about that?
Yeah, it does take money to make all of this happen once we make those plans, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we talk about the city budget quite a bit. I, you know, again, this is something I brought in with me. All of these plans were delayed a bit once I took office last January, and March derailed a few things when the world changed dramatically. But we talk about taxes a lot in Amesbury, and the feedback and the comments really are rooted in the misunderstanding, or sort of the uncertainty about where that money is being spent. You know, I'm happy to pay my taxes, but I want to know what you're doing with it. And so that sort of budget literacy and that budget transparency is really important for us to make some significant changes in. And so we revamped our budget document last year. Our budget book is no longer a very long spreadsheet that nobody wants to read or can't understand. So I encourage anyone to go out and look at our budget book. It's easily accessible from our website, full of charts and graphs and, you know, facts, FAQs, all kinds of information in there. We're working already on the FY22 budget book, which is really exciting, and it will have even more great information in it. And we just launched a new platform that we're integrating into our website, which is called ClearGov, which provides more charts and graphs and interactive material for a resident to really dive into their tax dollars and to decide, or sort of learn more about, how much of their tax bill goes to things like trash pickup or recycling pickup, or you know, the school department and educating one student. You know, how does that numbers and those dollars actually break down? So we've just launched ClearGov. I think it was yesterday, so very new. We're looking forward to folks diving in, using the manipulatives. You can change the numbers and the charts, and you can plug in your information and learn more there.
I want to ask this question delicately. What's the state of the budget right now? Because I made a mistake one time of saying, well, this is budget season, and the mayor told me it's always budget season.
That is true. It is always budget season, especially in the last 15 months, I think, you know, and when the pandemic hit and we were moving into budget season, or, you know, into the approval process mm-hmm. of last year's budget, we in Amesbury did 3 months of continuing appropriation budget. So we wrote, I think, 5 budgets last year. So this year looks a lot better. Mm-hmm. We are really hoping we just need one. And it looks better than I expected, quite frankly. Okay. I'm feeling optimistic.
All right.
We're waiting for the House Ways and Means budget to be released from the state. We are in the bid process right now for a new elementary school in Amesbury. So the debt, the borrowing for that hit us last year, which made last year really, really tough because we did take on a large payment in preparation for that school to break ground. It's going to be a great school. I think people are really excited about it, and it's going to significantly impact our school district. But this year, we got a little relief from that. So that's already in the tax rate, and we can focus on sort of the basics and the other services that we provide. So after going through the budget line by line, we've done our review. We're having our second meetings with our department heads and our cost center managers, and I'm feeling a lot better about it this year.
Yeah, well, you know, you mentioned putting your feet in the fire right
yeah.
away, you know, as a newly elected mayor. So this is kind of an open sort of last question. Are you getting into a routine now? Because I know it was day to day with this COVID thing. Things changed every single day for probably, what, almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
So is it beginning to become routine for you?
I don't know that I can say yes to that. There's still a lot of moving pieces. We're still learning a lot. I mean, just yesterday we heard about the pause on the J&J vaccine, and we had had clinics on the schedule this week with J&J. We had just had the clinics with J&J. So, you know, the pandemic is still very much a part of our daily lives and our day-to-day work. We also are taking that lens of the fact that people's lives have really changed due to the pandemic and applying that to our work. What does that mean for us in the future? Will they come back to our library the way that they always have? Will they come back to our Council on Aging and our Senior Center the way they always have? How does our budget need to reflect those changes? Is our staff prepared for that? And so it's just a whole new world. It's a new ball game. So, I don't know anything different, so I guess that's a good thing.
Right, that's it.
and maybe it can only get better from here, but it's certainly made it interesting. There's no day the same. It's been fun, and I do look forward to, you know, this phase of problem solving and applying what we have learned to our work.
I do have one more question, and that has to do with remote meetings and virtual meetings. I know people are sick of Zoom or whatever platform you're on, but it does allow more flexibility in a way, doesn't it?
It does allow more flexibility. It's been great to have. It's certainly allowed some people to be part of our meetings who wouldn't otherwise, whether that is a contractor and their team for a planning board meeting, or a resident who otherwise has obligations to attend to and can't make it to the building. And we've had a significant increase in participation. We have our viewership is really risen. We use GoToMeeting and we Facebook live stream all of our meetings. And so the participation has been wonderful. We are going back to in-person meetings. Our public meetings are transitioning now. Our school committee has started going back to in-person. We haven't seen any in-person visitors. They're still tuning in online. I'm having more in-person meetings. But we will, I expect some hybrid models to evolve from this for us to have a transition period.
Mm-hmm, because yeah.
Our school committee has met twice in person, but our next one will be virtual. We expect it to be a very short meeting, and we're sort of squeezing it in between other things earlier in the day than normal. So we've decided to make it virtual. So having that flexibility has really been great.
And City Hall is open?
City Hall is open. Yep. Everyone is welcome to come in and see us. The doors are open. We've got hand sanitizer and extra cleaning protocols in place. We have a greeter at the front door a couple of days a week who can just help direct you. But we are here and welcome you to come see us.
Okay. Did I miss anything?
I don't think so. That was great. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. That is Amesbury Mayor Cassandra Gove. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Horn. This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.